from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. And hey, guys, how are you doing? This is Ben Dieter filling in for Todd Starnes, my boss. Broadcasting here at the Memphis home station of the National Todd Starnes Show right here in Memphis, Tennessee. Yeah, the boss is out. I mean, he's got the book tour. As you guys know, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? So I barely see my boss anymore. So he's jumped on an airplane. I talked to Todd just a couple minutes ago. He is headed off to Winston-Salem. Tomorrow, he's going to be doing the show in North Carolina. He'll be at the WSJS station, again, in Winston-Salem, broadcasting, doing the show live, then doing a book signing there at Goyen's Christian Supply and Homeschool Headquarters. Again, that is right in the area. On Friday, Todd's also going to be at WSIC, one of his great affiliates. So, again, you in the Statesville area, go watch the show. He's doing it live. They're tons of fun. I've seen Todd do his show lives, and again, you will be able to get your signed copy of his book, Can America Be Saved? Write down our telephone number, 901-260-5926. You can give us a call in the next 3 hours that we have together. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. Do want to start with this breaking news coming out of Washington, D.C. The headquarters of the RNC Committee HQ there in Washington was placed on a lockdown earlier Wednesday morning after reportedly receiving vials of blood that were sent into the building. Now, according to NBC, they broke the story. They were put under lockdown after someone sent vials of blood, which is revolting and dangerous. Three sources familiar with the situation told NBC. Now, CNN is also citing a police source that reportedly there was a suspicious package, yes, containing the two vials of blood, but also a Korean Bible. That seems peculiar. And two ice packs have also been discovered. Now, it's unclear if a suspect is in custody. Police made the scene. Capitol Police responded there at 7:45 this morning. So any developments, I know anybody in that area, you'll notice the road to the RNC headquarters blocked all morning long. They did get that reopened, and good news is no one was injured. A lot of people, of course, are speculating, what is the threat to send these vials of blood to the RNC? I mean, this after the news yesterday where the American people received a bombshell report. We're getting ready to jump into this. It was first reported by investigative journalist Julie Kelly, a great friend of the Todd Starnes Show. And what this journalist unveiled was that Biden's DOJ, FBI, authorized lethal deadly force during its pre-dawn raid on Mar-a-Lago, the former president's home down in South Florida. You guys remember the video footage of that? It was unbelievable. You would have thought the president was Diddy or Al Capone. It turns out Biden's DOJ probably views him more of a threat than even Diddy. President Trump responding to this news on True Social. We'll get into his statement. Now, the document revealed in this report, and you can find all of this on toddstarnes.com, that law enforcement officers of the DOJ may use deadly force when necessary. Newsweek reports that agents at the scene of Mar-a-Lago were instructed to wear unmarked polo or collared shirts, and a plan to bring standard issue weapons, ammo, handcuffs, and medium large size bolt cutters. Now, does that seem like a necessary response to a paper case where there were some documents, that the president had in his mansion that were not in the hands of the right people. Now, unlike President Joe Biden, when he was vice president and he was stashing documents, not just in the think tank in the Beltway, Washington, D.C., he was storing them in what the Corvette in his Delaware garage. They were everywhere. And he did not have the presidential authority to do so because he was not the president. The president did. But no, someone signed off on this. And we know who did it. We'll get to that in 1 second. But back to the report. Journalists, of course, this is the buzz. You know, President Trump has issued a statement. Donald Trump Jr. has issued statements. But the report gets only more grim and dark and demented. Armed FBI agents were preparing to confront President Trump and even engage Secret Service if necessary. This according to the X, formerly known as Twitter account of investigative journalist Julie Kelly. She goes on to write, they were going door to door to terrorize Mar-a-Lago guests and even pick the locks. She called it Gestapo style. So President Biden's DOJ, at some point along the way, thought, man, that President Trump, we didn't get him with the 4 indictments. We didn't get him with the 2 impeachments. Those 88 criminal charges, that's not taking him out either. So let's try this. Let's sign off on sending deadly force to his home. And here is who signed off on that. Take a listen, Cut 11.
There are, however, certain points I want you to know. First, I personally approve the decision to seek a search warrant in this matter. Second, the department does not take such a decision lightly.
So that is the suspect. That is the man appointed by President Joe Biden because, you know, Merrick Garland, he has such a chip on his shoulder after he was not appointed to be the next Supreme Court Justice of the United States. Like, go after the guy. Outside of the fact that President Trump is their number one biggest political opponent. I mean, every single day on this national show, coast to coast, Todd is detailing how they've weaponized the DOJ against the former president. But this is taking it to an nth degree. My boss, Todd, wrote on his Twitter account, the nation owes journalists like Julie Kelly a huge thank you for investigating and exposing the heinous behavior of the weaponized federal government. The FBI was caught red-handed, setting the stage for what could have led to the assassination of President Trump. He writes, we're living in dangerous days, America. Todd also added, the FBI says authorizing lethal force is an acceptable protocol when raiding the homes of not just the president, but you pro-lifers, Catholics, and law gun abiders. Charlie Kirk wrote the following, if you're dumb enough to believe it's standard operating procedure for the FBI to, one, raid a former president's home, two, authorize lethal force against POTUS and staff, three, prepare to confront U.S. Secret Service, four, war game possible casualties with a medic on standby, and then five, because of the documents dispute, then you are an enemy of America. But what about the former president? What is he saying? He said this on True Social. I walked out of court and was shown reports that crooked Joe Biden's DOJ in their illegal and unconstitutional raid of Mar-a-Lago authorized the FBI to use deadly lethal force. Now we know for sure that Joe Biden is the serious threat to democracy. He is mentally unfit to hold office, 25th Amendment. His son, Donald Trump Jr., said this on X. The real threat to American democracy is coming from the Bolsheviks and the Biden administration. Well said, Trump Jr. They will do anything to hold on to their power and stop Trump. Of course, the FBI is trying to play cleanup because they got caught, as Todd said, red-handed, using and authorizing deadly force against a former president of the United States. And they said, well, this is just standard procedure. This is just what we do. Well, that's bullcrap. Absolute bullcrap. And the Trump surrogate and also former AG of Florida, Pam Bondi, She was on Fox this morning, and she responded, and she said, listen, I've done many of these seizures when there is a defendant involved. This is not normal. Take a listen.
I was in trial with President Trump all day yesterday. We walk out of trial and then get this news. And how upsetting is that, especially to all the great men and women of the Secret Service who were in Mar-a-Lago? It was a safe place. I've been a part of executing multiple search warrants. Nothing about this was standard. It was a siege by land, by sea, by air of Mar-a-Lago. There were other federal agents there. Nothing about this was normal. Yet we've heard now that they even had medics and EMS there in case there could have been a shootout. Can you believe that? No, nothing about this was standard. What you do is you coordinate with other federal agencies before you go in there.
She's exactly right. And at this point, for the FBI to be coming out there and saying, oh, this is totally normal. This? Nope, not normal. You're gaslighting the American people. It would be like, I mean, it's not like the president had coke or all sorts of other paraphernalia in his mansion in Mar-a-Lago. It's not like it's the White House under current President Joe Biden. I mean, they've got coke everywhere. They've got all sorts of nefarious things happening. And imagine if the FBI raided the White House with guns drawn and the force that was authorized by his DOJ against President Biden. Oh, that would never happen. So I'm going to open up the phone lines this morning. Questions I am thinking today. First of all, I believe Merrick Garland's got to go. I mean, the guy's got to be impeached. Unfortunately, I don't think we've got Republicans strong enough to do something like that. By the way, we're going to be talking to a couple of them. Congressman John Rose from the state of Tennessee is going to join us in a couple minutes. Do you think Merrick Garland should be impeached? And then secondly, I mean, it's what we've been talking about every day, it seems like, with what's coming out of Alvin Bragg's case against the former president in Manhattan. Has the judicial system been weaponized against former President Donald Trump? And not just Trump, as Trump has said many times on the campaign trail. They're not coming after me. They're coming after you. Pro-lifers, Catholics, Christians, those that value your Second Amendment rights. I'm just standing in the way. 901-260-5926. 901-260-5926. You're listening to the Todd Starn Show.
Thanks to the good people at American Hartford Gold, I'm able to bring you this urgent message. Inflation is on the rise again. The dollar is in danger of collapse, and an overheated stock market could crash at any time. The upcoming election is only adding to the chaos. That's why you should contact the good folks at American Hartford Gold to help you safeguard your financial future with physical gold and silver. You can diversify your savings with precious metals delivered right to your door or in a tax-advantaged gold IRA. Protect your retirement from a collapsing dollar and crashing stock prices. Call 855-913-1133 or text Todd to 65532 today for a free gold and silver informational kit. And if you call now, they'll send you up to $15,000 of free silver on qualifying purchases. Gold has hit record highs and keeps climbing. So call 855-913-1133 or text Todd now to 65532 for your free informational kit today.
And welcome back to the Todd Starn Show, broadcasting live from Memphis, Tennessee. Of course, the hometown of Elvis Presley, that music coming back from break. Again, Ben Dieter filling in for Todd Starnes. I host the morning show on KWAM, the flagship station of the Todd Starn Show here in Memphis, a.k.a. Todd is my boss. So if I just destroy today's show, I don't know that I have a job tomorrow. All the morning show people might not hear from me. No, Todd's been fantastic and is a great boss, and he is currently headed to North Carolina for a big book signing. He's on his book tour, and I will share details with you in 1 minute of how you can see Todd and get your book signed, Twilight's Last Gleaming. So everybody is asking, what is happening to Graceland? I mean, just because I live in Memphis, Tennessee, I have gotten more text messages from people that I haven't talked to in years only because they've turned on the TV and they think that they could be the highest bidder and own Elvis's body, because that is the final resting place of Elvis Presley and then Lisa Marie Presley and the grandson that tragically killed himself. So it goes a little bit deeper than the headlines are suggesting. Hate to break it to you, but again, we are in Memphis, so we kind of know this thing. Here's what's happening. So back in 2018, allegedly, this company from Missouri, they say they are a private lender company, Nasani Investments, loaned Priscilla or Lisa Marie Presley, excuse me, the daughter of Priscilla and Elvis, $3.8 million, nearly a $4 million loan. And if she didn't pay that loan back, Graceland would be collateral. As you guys know, back in January of last year, tragically, Lisa Marie Presley passed away unexpectedly. So randomly, out of the blue, Nasani Investments, this LLC company out of Missouri, drops an ad in the local paper casually and says, by the way, if you want to buy Graceland, be downtown at the courthouse on the front steps on Thursday noon. You're the highest bidder. We sell it to you. We want to get this off of our hands. So the heir of the king, which would be the granddaughter, Lisa Marie's daughter, Riley, she's going, wait, that's my property. So they file a lawsuit. It was 60 pages long. And they're saying this is absolute fraud. The signature that they're claiming is Lisa Marie Presley's was forged. Even Priscilla Presley on X and on Facebook posted a photo of the mansion, and with big red words, it said scam across the image. So they're fighting back against this. Anyways, we've got an update because a judge was going to be looking at the case today. Again, it is allegedly supposed to be on the auctioning block tomorrow. But here in Shelby County, where we're broadcasting from, a judge slapped on a temporary restraining order granted by this judge, which has put the auction on hold for now. I smell a rat. I smell a scam. I have yet to really be in Graceland, which is a shame. And maybe I'll throw it out to our listeners across the country. When you guys have come to Memphis, or have you come to Memphis to specifically go to Graceland? Now, the thing about locals, despite where you live, whether that's in Memphis or you live in New York City, half of the New Yorkers never go to the Met. They don't go to the Statue of Liberty, but when I go to New York, you better believe I'm right there on Ellis Island. Most people, Dylan, you've lived here all your life. How many times have you been to Graceland?
Never.
What?
I was going to say, Memphians don't really go to Graceland.
That's a shame.
It's just a thing.
I've been to the museum because it's cheap.
Yeah, I want to go. I need to go, I guess, soon.
Well, you better go soon because there might not be a Graceland to see. Now, here's the fascinating thing. 600,000 tourists go through Graceland every single year. That makes the home of Elvis Presley's, the mansion, the most visited tourist destination in the Volunteer State. So how someone in Missouri, who we reached out, we called the number in the lawsuit of Nasani LLC, we got nothing. No one can reach this company. That seems a little too easy to one day just drop an ad in the paper and the next thing you know, you're selling off Graceland. So that's the latest. We'll give you more on the other side of the break. Congressman John Rose joining the Todd Starnes Show on the other side. Stay with us.
You might have heard Mike Lindell of MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of the cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, $25. Brand-new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. And for the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping, too. This amazing offer won't last long, so go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 today. That's promo code STARNS.
It's not even June yet, and the whole gender madness stuff has already started. Oreo cookies, and I'm a huge fan of Oreos. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. Bindeater broadcasting live in the flagship station here in Memphis, Tennessee. I saw where Paper Towel, like the official brand of Paper Towel, they just rolled out their Pride collection. Number one, what do paper towels have to do with, I hate to be frank, but what you do in your bedroom? Number two, again, it's not June yet. They are dominating the calendar. Boy, oh boy. All right, let's go to our phone line. Congressman John Rose joining us from the great state of Tennessee. Congressman, welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. How are you?
Just fine. Thanks for having me on the Todd Starnes Show today, Ben. Good to be with you.
Well, it's great to have you, and there's a lot to get to. I did want to start with this report coming out of Washington, and really a lot of people concerned about the FBI authorizing lethal force during its raid on Mar-a-Lago. And I think, Congressman, what Americans are seeing is what we're seeing in Manhattan in this hush money case against the former president brought by Alvin Bragg, the judge that is in the pockets of Democrats, that there is a two-tier system of justice, and this is yet the latest example of it.
Absolutely. I think, and it's really just kind of breathtaking, not only the way that they went into Mar-a-Lago, not only the disparity between how President Trump was treated and how President Biden and others have been treated on the Democratic side, but the very idea that they went in so heavy, that they, you know, had this authorization for use of lethal force, I mean, it really is tells you that we're not being fantastical when we characterize the degree to which this president has weaponized the justice system.
I mean, at this point, they know the writing's on the wall, right? They see the polling. The New York Times with their polling every other week. CBS drops the poll. Biden is down in all of the swing states, and if they can't get him on the 2 impeachments, 4 indictments, 88 criminal charges, well, then we'll try this. Also, they're doing it in political ways with our economy and our energy. This coming out of Washington, President Biden set to sell off 1 million barrels of gasoline held in the reserves, a rainy day fund to keep prices low. And they're not going to say before the election, but what say you, Congressman? I think this is all about November 8th.
Absolutely it is. So this president's policies have created the runaway inflation, the highest inflation since I was a junior in high school. And then, you know, it's as if he's the arsonist who has started the fire and then wants to be lauded for helping to in some way put it out. So that we see over and over again this administration advancing policies that are destructive to our economy, that create unnecessary hurdles and burdens for working men and women across this country. And then they take taxpayer resources and try to come to the rescue as if that somehow makes them a champion for the common man. But it's this president's policies that have created the worst economic inflation that we've seen in 40 plus years. And he doesn't now get to use the resources of the government to somehow try to come off as Santa Claus showing up with gifts for the poor and needy when he created the problem to begin with.
Well said. It's hard to run against Santa Claus in the presidential election. Again, talking to Congressman John Rose from Tennessee on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Now, Congressman, you are from the farmlands here in Tennessee, and there's a lot of buzz about the farm bill, and I believe it's set to go into committee tomorrow. Break it down for the listeners today.
Sure. So the Farm Bill is supposed to come up every 5 years. We're running a year behind schedule, which is pretty true to form and normal. You know, this policy, this is the agricultural policy of the country, all wrapped up into a single bill to reauthorize that on an annual basis. And for farm country, farmers across the country, the agricultural enterprise, the policies that are encapsulated in the Farm Bill are absolutely critical, and particularly critical when you have the disastrous economic policies of the current administration that have led to runaway inflation, have led to a dramatic increase in input costs for our farmers across the country. And we always have to keep in mind that farmers are price takers. They don't get to set their price. So when their input costs go up, their costs go up. When they can't find labor, all those sorts of things, they don't get to just automatically increase their price to the consumer. They take the price that the market delivers to them. And so that's why this policy, this far-reaching policy, is so important. And then I'll just conclude by saying that as the American people, we always need to keep in mind we live in a time when we enjoy the most abundant, lowest cost, and safest supply of food and fiber in the history of human civilization. And so farm policy, ag policy in this country is working. It's not perfect. We'd all like to see freer markets and less government involvement. But we do enjoy a great benefit as American people that we are food self-sufficient, and that's important from a national security perspective. And we enjoy this bounty of food and fiber that if the government will stay out of the way with respect to some of the regulations they want to put in place, we can enjoy this bounty. And we go to the grocery store, we take for granted the fact that the shelves are almost always well stocked and full with a myriad of choices that bewilders most Americans at this point.
Yeah, you're exactly right. We've got to protect those farmers and our food supply. Senate Democrats plan to force a vote coming up tomorrow on what they claim is a bipartisan border security package. And the leader of the Senate, Chuck Schumer, is blaming it all on you guys, House Republicans. And your speaker, the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, did respond in a press conference earlier today. Take a listen in Cut 12.
Of course, as we all know, we talk about in here all the time, we passed multiple bipartisan bills, by the way, to secure the border and deport criminal illegal immigrants, including the Laken Riley Act. But every single measure that we have sent to the Senate has been blocked by Senator Schumer. If he was serious in his attempt to secure the border, Senator Schumer would bring up H.R. 2, the Secure the Border Act, which, as you all know, was the most comprehensive border security bill ever passed by Congress that we did now more than 13 months ago. It's been sitting on Chuck Schumer's desk. If they were serious, they would move that legislation through the Senate and get it to the president's desk, and he would sign it into law. But they are not serious about it because they engineered the open border. Do not ever forget, we documented 64, at least 64 specific executive actions that President Biden himself took, beginning on the first day he walked in the Oval Office, and that his agencies, DHS, under the direction of Secretary Mayorkas, whom we impeached in the House, that they engineered. They opened the border wide. They did it intentionally.
All right, Congressman, want to get your response to that. Are they trying to flip the script as we go into November? What do you make of it?
Absolutely, that's what this is about. This stunt by Senator Schumer, Majority Leader Schumer, is nothing but a sham. You know, first of all, he tries to pass this off as though it's some sort of heralded bipartisan effort in the Senate. But we need to keep in mind that the first time that Senator Schumer brought this up, there was more Democratic opposition than there was Republican support. So I think it might be more correct to call this a bill that is opposed on an overwhelming bipartisan basis. And there's going to be even less Republican support this time around. Last time around, it did not even get a majority in the Senate, much less the 60 votes needed to actually move it forward. And so this is just purely a political exercise. Speaker Johnson is exactly right in how he characterizes this. The open border policies at the southern border are not in place because of a failure of Congress to act. They're in place because they are the intentional policy of President Biden. He wanted to let these millions, now well over 10 million people into the country illegally. He promised to do it as a candidate, and he's fulfilled that promise many times over. So this is not a failure of Congress to act. It's not a failure of U.S. law. It is the intentional policy of the Biden administration. And it's succeeding to do exactly what they wanted, which is to overrun this country with illegal aliens.
Well said. Congressman, going to leave it there. Congressman John Rose, a patriot, and appreciate you joining the show today.
Thank you very much. Appreciate Ben having me on the Todd Starnes Show today, and it's a great honor to represent the people of Tennessee.
All right. Great state. We love it. All right. Going to leave it there. Taking your calls this hour, 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. We're going to have Scott Walker on the program. Of course, he is the guy over, this would be Young America's Foundation. Great, great guy. And of course, was a very popular conservative governor. He's going to join us in a little bit. And he's really focused on the youth vote. And there was a Washington Post story, and it was an opinion piece, granted, but it talked about the shift from Democrats that have typically held on to the minority vote, whether that be African-American, Hispanic. In the case of 18 to 29-year-olds, they typically get into the voting booth and they vote up and down the ballot for Democrats. Anyways, they looked at the polling, and it shows specifically in the age range of 18 to 29-year-olds, you know, the way the Democrats are running this campaign as we head into November, it's going to be here before you know it. You would think that the main issues that these kids, and I say kids facetiously, care about is gun violence. They want abortions. They want the conflict in the Middle East to end. That's not the case at all. If you look at recent polling, number one issue, inflation. Number two, healthcare. Number three, housing. No one can buy a house. It's unbelievable. I was looking at house prices in Nashville, and just the market right now, it's just impossible for so many of these kids. They graduate with from college. They go into their first job. Maybe they want to get their first apartment. Maybe buy it as opposed to rent. And they can't afford it. So it's backfiring on the former President Biden. And that's why we're seeing that polling go in favor of former President Donald Trump. It's fascinating to watch. We'll jump into that at the top of the hour. This is the Todd Starnes Show. You're listening to Ben Dieter.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolfe. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
I am still at the point when I walk through the grocery store, people come up to me and grab my hands, say, we're going to be okay, aren't we? He won't win, will he? You know, they won't let him back in the Oval Office, will they? So I do think there is a level of panic out there because some people who look at all the facts and circumstances go, wait a minute, how could this be tied? Right? How could this be tied after everything that has occurred?
Oh, okay. So that was Claire McCaskill. Remember her? She was the senator from Missouri. Now she is a contributor on MSNBC. I guess she goes to the grocery store, the Kroger, and people are just running up to Miss Claire. Miss Claire, are we going to be okay? President Trump is neck and neck with President Biden. And she says, he won't win. I don't know what's going on. Now, the reason it is neck and neck, and I would argue in most of the polling we're seeing, Trump is running away with this. If you look at the critical battleground states, Trump's up in all of them outside of one. And we'll go back to the Todd Starnes Show, broadcasting live as we are headed to the top of the second hour. Ben Dieter here, host of the morning show on KWAM, the flagship station of the Todd Starnes Show here in Memphis. And they believe Donald Trump is the biggest threat to democracy. They literally, if they had an issue on the ballot, because you've heard this at this point 1,400 times. Democracy is on the ballot. You know what? No, the American people aren't buying that. First of all, they can't buy anything. They can't buy their groceries. They can't, despite President Biden opening up the spigots of the reserves, the oil reserves, they cannot afford to put gas in their cars. But the true threat to democracy is the folks that weaponize the DOJ and authorize lethal force, deadly force against a former president. You all can sit down. That is nonsense and bullcrap. Election interference. That is what Team Trump is calling this latest film coming out of Hollywood. They call it election interference by Hollywood. Did you guys? So this is called The Apprentice. It's a biopic of the former president. So there was its first screening at the Cannes Film Festival just this weekend. Apparently, it was so good for the Hollywood elites, they gave it a standing ovation for guess how many minutes? 8 minutes. As the Associated Press described this biopic, The Apprentice, I'm going to read it verbatim. The Apprentice, which is labeled as inspired by true events, notably contains a scene depicting Trump raping his wife, Ivana Trump. In Ivana Trump's 1990 divorce deposition, she stated that Trump raped her. That scene and others make The Apprentice a potentially explosive big screen drama in the midst of a U.S. presidential election. This film is for sale in Cannes, so it doesn't have a release date. Now, as you guys know, Trump has denied that allegation. And as a matter of fact, Ivana Trump said that that did not happen. She was confused in the divorce filings, and she did not mean it literally. Did you notice as she was coming down to the end of her days? They were best friends. Trump and Ivana, his first wife, they were fine. But this hit job coming from Hollywood is supposed to show a slew of unflattering scenes. This is by Variety and how they described it. Depicting Trump popping amphetamine pills to lose weight, getting liposuction, and having surgery to remove his bald spot. So here is the filmmaker, which the Trump campaign said he's a pretend filmmaker, and he is. Take a listen to why he had to release The Apprentice.
When we did this movie, everyone said, why do you want to make a movie of Trump? You know, if you want to tell something about the world, do it in a nice way, in a metaphorical way. How about a Second World War movie? How about a First World War movie? How about an American independence movie? How about a Russian independence movie? How about a Roman Empire movie? And then we ended up in the Planet of Apes, you know? But point is, there is no nice metaphorical way to deal with the rising wave of fascism. You know? There's only the messy way. There's only the banal way. There's only the way of dealing with this wave on its own terms, at its own level, you know? And it's not going to be pretty. But I think the problem with the world is that the good people have been quiet for too long, you know? So I think it's time to make movies relevant, you know? It's time to make movies political again.
How about no? No. Dylan, you're a movie guy. I'm throwing it out to the listening audience, 901-260-5926. Is it time to make movies political again?
I hate political movies.
Me too. I'm not watching a movie if it's political.
Just tell a nice story. Just tell a good story. Stop trying to make a statement about something.
Oh, but just regular, benign, apolitical movies don't do well at the Cannes Festival. Mm. And they definitely don't get 8 minute standing ovations. What? I can't even stand on my freaking feet for 8 minutes long. Are you guys going to watch this? And I'm curious to hear from our movies lovers. Do you like a political movie? Is it time to make political movies great again? More on the other side. You're listening to the Todd Starnes Show, 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
We're experiencing instability at every level. Our government lacks leadership, and Bidenomics has been a disaster. The economy is in a fragile state. Inflation has been a consistent issue. High interest rates have put significant pressure on the real estate market. There have been major bank failures, and many analysts say a stock market correction is likely overdue. We have global conflicts in Europe and the Middle East that have the potential to spread, but gold has soared to record highs even amidst the tensions. There are so many reasons that Americans should consider investments in gold and silver, and Legacy Precious Metals is the gold standard. I love Legacy Precious Metals because of their zero-hassle, education-first approach. They can help you roll your traditional IRA into a gold IRA or ship metals directly to your house. Go to legacypminvestments.com to download their free gold investing guide. I've read it, and there's so much valuable information there. Friends, now is not the time to roll the dice with your hard-earned money. Find out about the growth potential that gold offers you. Contact Legacy Precious Metals today and tell them I sent you.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. I was in trial with President Trump all day yesterday. We walk out of trial and then get this news. And how upsetting is that, especially to all the great men and women of the Secret Service who were in Mar-a-Lago? It was a safe place. I've been a part of executing multiple search warrants. Nothing about this was standard. It was a siege by land, by sea, by air of Mar-a-Lago. There were other federal agents there. Nothing about this was normal. Yet we've heard now that they even had medics and EMS there in case there could have been a shootout. Can you believe that? No, nothing about this was standard. What you do is you coordinate with other federal agencies before you go in there.
Yeah, and she knows what she's talking about. That was Pam Bondi, former AG of Florida and now a Trump surrogate on Fox this morning, of course, following the news that Biden's FBI DOJ authorized lethal force during its pre-dawn guns-drawn raid of the former president's home down in Mar-a-Lago. Welcome back to hour number two of the Todd Starnes Show. Ben Dieter, host of the morning show on the flagship station KWAM here in Memphis, joining you as we jump right into it with our next guest, Scott Walker, president of Young America Foundation. He joins us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Mr. Walker, welcome to the program.
Hey, great to be on. Thanks for having me.
I want to get your reaction to that. A lot of people concerned. Again, this is another example of a weaponized DOJ. If you look at what's happening in Manhattan with Alvin Bragg's case against the former president, a lot of people are losing confidence in what were credible institutions.
Yeah, this is a big backfire by the radicals on the left to try and do this. I have found increasingly not just rock solid supporters of President Trump, not just rock solid Republicans, but people who maybe been on the fence, people who maybe in the primaries were considering some others. Actually, I had someone recently, I just now said that she said she was she had supported Nikki Haley in the primary, but thought what was happening to the president, President Trump, that is, in the legal process was absolute crap, was just outrageous. And so I think this is a huge backfire. Obviously, it's a long-term concern because these are institutions that should be above reproach. They shouldn't matter who's in office or who's running for office, but it is a tremendous problem. But I do think it's become so obvious to the American people that it backfires, not only motivating the base, but I think in swing states like mine in Wisconsin, it actually is the sort of thing that the average swing voter goes, hey, they must be targeting because, you know, he's against the establishment. He's against he wants to shake things up and they don't like it.
Mm-hmm. You know, it was interesting. There was some New York Times Siena College polling that came out recently, and it was talking about the economy and what the majority of Americans feel at this point. Specifically, when we talk about the economy, which is like issue number one for all voters, it doesn't matter skin color, age, weight, you name it. We want to just be able to afford our groceries and put gas in our tanks. They said, we just want a political shakeup. We don't care if it's President Trump and those mean tweets. We've just got to do something different. And I know you guys have been looking at these polling, looking into how the trends are swaying when it comes to young voters. What are you finding at YAF?
Yeah, without a doubt, Young America's Foundation has done, each year does nationwide polls, the general population of college and high school age students, because that's younger voter age. And what we found surprises many. In fact, I actually got PolitiFact when our poll came out, because I pointed out the economy was the number one issue. And the PolitiFact, as much as it's usually wrong and biased towards conservatives, came back absolutely true. It showed that we didn't influence the poll, that it's a legitimate poll without bias. It shows number one issue college-age students out there right now in America is the economy. It's why in the New York Times poll, you see 18 to 29-year-olds dropped 16 points from where those who claim they voted for Biden 4 years ago versus those who are not going to vote for him now. That is a huge drop. And if that sort of thing lingers, that's going to be, I think, the margin that you'll see in states, again, not only Wisconsin, Michigan, mm-hmm. Georgia, Arizona, Pennsylvania. This will be a major, major shift, not only for President Trump, but could impact the United States Senate.
Okay, so I'm a younger guy. I would fall in this category. I'm 25. This is 18 to 29, and this was a survey. This was Harvard and their youth poll. It was conducted between March 14th and March 21st, and you're right. 64% of those respondents said inflation, number one. Number two, healthcare, housing. Shockingly, climate change was down at 12, and the Hamas stuff that we're going to talk about in 1 second was 15. So you're right. Now, are they going to vote for Republicans or just be apathetic? Because both would be a win for Republicans, right? We want these young people to be conservatives. But when I talk to a lot of my peers, they're disgruntled with the entire system at large. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, which is one, bodes well for President Trump personally, because I think it's a lot of folks, regardless of age, whether you're 25 or 65 or somewhere in between, or older or younger, the reality is that if you made the mistake 4 years ago of voting for Joe Biden, thinking, I don't like the tone, I don't like the mean tweets, I just want someone who can get along. It seems like this guy maybe got along with the Republicans in the Senate. You realize now it's an absolute failure, that this guy not only has divided the nation as much as any other, but it's just totally incompetent, that things are a train wreck, the economy, the border, public safety, you name it. And so I think there's a combination of things at play there. One, there's some people who are going to shift to Trump and say, I'm okay with a little political instability in return for economic and worldwide stability. Secondly, I think there are going to be some people who still maybe, I think for poor reasons, but still can't, you know, pull the lever for Trump, but will not vote for Biden. And if they vote for Kennedy, or they just don't vote at all, in a state again like mine in Wisconsin, where 23,000 votes was the difference in the 2020 election out of about 6 million people in the state, that alone could be the difference.
Yeah, wow, that's tight. All right, so I was on X, and I saw where you caught up with my boss, Todd, on his Newsmax show, Todd Starnes. And were talking about UCLA and then pulling a plug on one of your YAF events you claim unconstitutional. Share that with the listeners today.
Yeah, so instead of doing what the left is doing, and that is violating their own rules, violating the laws, violating UCLA's case, the Code of Student Conduct, we decided at UCLA, like other places, that we'll bring a speaker. Let's counter this craziness. Let's counter the encampments. Followed the rules, got a room reserved, had our YAF chapter go out and do all this just right, bringing Robert Spencer in moments before we're supposed to have it. The administration literally blocks students from coming in to see this, does not allow for this event. The last second claims, oh, we'll put it at some place on the other side of campus. No, that's not free speech. They have blocked and violated the constitutional rights of the students on campus. They deserve to be able to hear from speakers other than just these radical pro-Hamas encampment folks. And so we're going to go to court. We're going to sue them, and we're going to win, just like we did against UC Berkeley, Cal State, and others out there, particularly at public institutions, at state-run institutions. This is a clear violation of the constitutional rights of these students. We are going to win, but we shouldn't have to go to court not only should it be protected there, but free speech should be revered on our college campuses. Yet, sadly, that's where it's most at risk these days.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's literally ingrained in our Bill of Rights, our First Amendment rights. It's shocking. Now, the silver lining to what we saw over the last month at these college campuses, Mr. Walker, is potentially the fact that now they are exposed, that it's not just a handful of radical pro-Hamas students. In many of these cases, specifically at places like UCLA, Columbia, it is actually their profs, their professors. And is that maybe the only, I don't want to say good thing that came out of this, that now parents and other folks are understanding what is actually going at the down at these places of education? They're not education, it is indoctrination.
That's exactly. It's gone from just liberal bias to radicalization of colleges. And so I think that's the wake-up call, kind of like COVID was the wake-up call for K-12, where people realized, hey, my kids are the things they are learning are awful. The things they aren't learning are the things they should be learning. It's just an absolute mess. And now we see in higher ed that people are really wondering what is going on. One of the other benefits we saw, you know, at the University of North Carolina with the fraternity brothers who stood up and defended the American flag. We've seen at other campuses where people have started to stand up, stand with our students like those involved at YAF and other groups. And oh, by the way, if someone's listening, if you're under attack, go to yf.org. We like to say if you're under attack, YAF's got your back, whether you're in our chapter or you're just a conservative student on campus, just trying to get by, we will defend you anyway, anyhow, because in most of these cases, you have a constitutional right to be able to be heard and to be protected and to not deal with this kind of crap on campus. And I think that's the wake-up call, not only for students, but as you said, for parents and even for some other educators. You know, they're not every professor, sadly too many are, but not every professor is a rabid radical on these campuses. But like our students, they've been intimidated, and it's time to stand up and fight back.
Yeah, yeah, well said. YAF's got your back. Is that on a T-shirt? Yeah, I mean, that's so catchy. Yeah. Put that on a
mag. No, but it's a good idea.
All right, so folks, you can check out everything we discussed at YAF.org. Again, YAF.org. Also follow Governor Walker there on X at Scott Walker. Thank you for dropping by.
Hey, my pleasure. Have a good one. Keep fighting for freedom.
All right, good stuff. All right, opening up the phone lines this afternoon, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number, 901-260-5926. You know, they've been screaming about the fact that we needed safe spaces. And, you know, from my vantage point of being in school during all of this, you know, I was in college during President Trump's election back in 2016. And then when 2020 happened, and I remember being in college back in 16 when Trump won, and the mass panic at schools, not just mine, but in the surrounding areas, where these kids, the next day, they took off classes. They cleared their schedules because kids were so emotionally distraught because a Republican won, and a Republican named Donald Trump became the next president of the United States. Do you recall? They brought in, like, the puppies. They also brought in golden retrievers as emotional support animals. Then they created safe spaces where they would have rooms on campuses. If kids were emotionally triggered, they could go. And now these places of learning, specifically the higher education, the Ivy Leagues, they have become places of radicalism and in many cases just hate speech directed towards folks they don't like about. Yeah, we could talk about Jews this month, but will it be Christians the next? Or will it be white people? We've seen that. You know, and anybody that they do not like, they have the freedom to spew this vitriolic crap, and that's what we've seen over the last month. That's what we were talking about with Scott Walker. And imagine if for one second this anti-Semitic rhetoric was replaced and directed towards black students on campus. I mean, truly, I cannot imagine how quickly this would not be a story anymore. There would be so many consequences. It's unbelievable. But again, it's much like the left in their roles for thee, but not for me. At this point, we expect the hypocrisy. The only good thing is when I look at this polling of young voters, they're not in lockstep with the Democratic Party. Now, maybe not Republicans either, but if we've got enough apathetic voters, that does very well for Republicans in November. Those are my thoughts. You're listening to the Todd Starn Show. More on the other side. Don't go away.
I say to every young man thinking of getting married, marrying a family of five or more daughters. I did. My wife's the oldest of five sisters. You know why? One of them will always love you. Not the same one. One of them will always be on your side. That's the biggest advantage of marrying into five daughters.
What the hell? Welcome back to the Todd Starn Show. Bandeater filling in. So, rule of thumbs, if you are getting married, which I know Dylan Dandridge, the great producer, one of them of the Todd Starn Show, is in September, and you are currently in premarital counseling. Is that correct? We're going to do a little cross-examination.
I actually graduated.
You graduated?
Yeah.
Did you get your diploma?
Yeah, I got my marriage diploma. It's not a license, but it's graduated from the counseling part.
Okay. Did they tell you in your counseling as a potential married couple or a to-be married couple to make sure you marry a chick that has five sisters?
They didn't
because one of them will love you if your girlfriend turned fiance, who I'm a big fan of, turns out to not love you.
Yeah, they forgot to mention that part. Maybe that's not part of it. No, they didn't say that.
That's an insane thing to say.
It's crazy.
What is he talking about? Especially because that's kind of what his son Hunter did. Oh, I'm not making it up. So this is the headline coming from the New York Post. Hunter Biden's ex-wife, sister-in-law turned lover, right? Because they had an affair. And then another lover are slated to testify in Delaware in federal court about his crack cocaine addiction as he heads to trial on weapons charges. This is coming up. So actually, President Biden clearly told Hunter Biden to do that because that's what he did. He literally had an affair with his sister-in-law, which is disgusting. So this is a mess. You've got witness number one. That was his former wife. Her name is Kathleen. They separated in 2015, divorced in 2017. They had the daughters, Naomi, Finnegan. You've seen the president walking around with, like, Naomi, for example. So she's expected to take the stand. And they say she is going to claim that she searched Hunter's car and found drugs and paraphernalia on approximately a dozen occasions back in 2018. Now, why 2018 is really important is because that is when President Biden's son, Hunter, claimed on a federal background check form that he was neither a user of controlled substances nor an addict when buying the firearms back in October 12th in 2018. So Mrs. X Biden is going to say that is a lie. Now you've got the chick that is witness number two. Her name is Zoe Kistan. And the only thing that we know about her is that her ex handle on Twitter is @weed_slut. Can I say that on air? I don't know. I just did 420. So she's a big, she smokes pot. So she was involved with Hunter Biden between 2017 and October 2018. Again, this is when he bought his gun. What she is going to jump on the stand and say is that my hookup, Hunter, smoked crack cocaine frequently every 20 minutes except for when he slept. He's a degenerate. Witness number three. This is Halle Biden. An affair that began with Hunter, the president's son, as early as 2016 that continued until after his October 2018 purchase of the Glock, which led to this indictment. What she's expected to say on the stand is that Hunter was in Delaware the month he bought the gun and she discovered drug paraphernalia and drugs in his possession on multiple occasions and observed that Hunter frequently lost phones and changed phones. She goes on to say that he threw the guns in the trash can outside a Delaware supermarket. She was called a effing hole. I can't say half of this stuff. After she went after the president's son. This is who literally is living in the White House at the time. Because as witness number one said, he's falling asleep every 20 minutes. And when he's not asleep, he's smoking a crack pipe or a meth pipe or both. Latest on the Todd Starn Show. More on the other side. Don't go away. welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. Glad to have you guys joining us on this busy Wednesday. Want to go right now to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're joined by Heather McDonald, fellow at the Manhattan Institute, contributing ed for the City Journal and author of one of my favorite books, When Race Trumps Merit. Heather, welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me on. It's great to be with you.
I was reading down through one of your latest articles, California's Looming Crime Catastrophe. And what I found very interesting is you go into a deep dive of the Racial Justice Act. And what you propose is that every aspect of the criminal justice system, which should be impartial, is based against blacks. Explain this act and how it's wreaking havoc on places like Oakland, California, and so on.
Well, that's the view of the act. That's not my view. My view is that the criminal justice system is fair, and it bases its treatment of individuals on their crime commission and on their criminal history. However, California has passed a law that says that the entire criminal justice system is racist, and any defendant can use that allegation to defeat his own prosecution. He doesn't need to show that the police who arrested him or the prosecutors who prosecuted him or the judge that sentenced him were biased. Those actors, criminal justice actors, can all be completely fair. But if he purports to show that in the past there was a pattern of racial bias against, say, black defendants, then you can't prosecute this guy. Now, this is obviously completely insane on its face, because you should have to prove individual bias in an individual case. But the additional insanity of this law is that the way you prove bias in the past is completely flawed. You do not need to look into the criminal history of anybody who was previously charged. You don't need to look into the heinousness of the crime. So basically, this law is a recipe for completely emasculating any ability to hold criminals accountable for their crime. All they need to do is allege that in the past, the criminal justice system treated blacks unfairly, and again, they make that allegation without adequate proof, and then they are home free and they get a get-out-of-jail-free card.
And it's interesting because you detail in this piece, Heather, that if a prosecutor pushes back against this narrative that there's just systemic racism in the criminal justice system, then even prosecutors could be thrown off the case. And then follow up to all of this is if a defendant could go back years and years and years through data and data, wouldn't that bog down a criminal justice system that is already heavy and burdened?
Yes, the law allows not just people facing a conviction and prosecution now to challenge their prosecution on the basis of racial bias. Anybody in prison at the moment can go back and reopen his sentencing or conviction on the basis of alleged racial bias in the past. This opens the floodgates for people sitting in prison right now in California to say, well, there was patterns of bias, so you have to resentence me or let me out. And, you know, it allows the defense attorneys, the public defenders, the criminal defense bar, when they try to make their alleged case that there was a pattern of bias in the past, they're flooding district attorneys' offices with data demands that are completely crippling. They can ask for 10 years of data on everybody that was ever sentenced, say, for possession of ecstasy for sale. And the standard for what you need to show in order to get a prosecutor's office obligated to hand over that data is extremely low. Courts in California have been issuing rulings on the standards of proof, the burdens of proof that are necessary in order to encumber district attorney's offices with these crippling data requests, and they are being unbelievably lenient. You basically don't, you can just sort of show up in court and say, well, I say that the police used to pull over black drivers at a higher rate. Therefore, I get all the records related to sale of possession for sale of ecstasy for drugs. Completely non sequitur and completely crippling to the ability of the criminal justice system to hold criminals accountable.
And you know what? And you point this out, they're just ending right back out onto the streets. And guess who it's affecting most? Black Americans. And you point that out with your statistics. That's why I'm such a big fan of your work and your book, When Race Trumps America, all of your books. You're just backing it with statistics. But if you were to listen to President Biden and his speech at Morehouse College, Heather, I'm sure you saw this. Wanted to get your reaction to what he told these graduate students in Cut 5.
It's natural to wonder if democracy you hear about actually works for you. What is democracy? If black men are being killed in the street, what is democracy? Betrayal of broken promises still leave black communities behind. What is democracy? If you have to be 10 times better than anyone else to get a fair shot. And most of all, what does it mean, as we've heard before, to be a black man who loves his country, even if it doesn't love him back in equal measure?
Boy, I mean, talk about inspiring.
Lies, lies, and lies. Yes, blacks face an incredibly higher risk of getting shot in these insane drive-by shootings in this country. Since the George Floyd race riots, black juveniles were 100 times more likely to be shot than white juveniles. Who's shooting them? Not the police, not Biden's phantom white supremacists, but other blacks. They are being shot by other blacks. If they were being shot by whites, there would be a national call to basically wage war on whites. There would be an absolute call to transform this country. It's not happening. Here's what the data show us. In Los Angeles, for example, blacks are 57 times more likely than whites to be a homicide suspect. They're 21 times more likely to commit violent crime. They're 36 times more likely to commit robberies. How do we know that? That's based on what the victims of and witnesses to those violent crimes tell the police, who are themselves overwhelmingly black and Hispanic. Blacks are in prison not because of the criminal justice system being racist, but because their criminal rates are so much higher. And yes, you're absolutely right. They are also victimized at those rates. In LA, blacks are 17 times more likely to be a homicide victim than whites. The solution to that is not to dismantle the capacity of the criminal justice system to put violent people who are traumatizing their communities in prison. The solution is to get the black family back together again so that young black males are raised in a stable home environment with an expectation of personal responsibility, rather than saying that they're victims, because that just enforces the oppositional inner city ghetto mentality that is destroying people's potential and turning them into criminals unnecessarily.
You know, I do the morning show here in Memphis, Tennessee, and I refer to your work in your book all the time, Heather, because we are run by this destructive mentality that if we could just abolish disparate impact, and I teased this on the local show for the national show that you were coming on. What is it in your study of these district attorney's offices and these prosecutors where they're trying to, is it that they think that one day there will be an equal amount of black criminals as white criminals? What have you found? Because I can't figure it out.
I think Americans are just guilty about race. They're terrified of the fact that the black disparities have not disappeared. They're worried that they never will. And so they are preemptively allowing the only possible explanation for racial disparities to be racism. Nobody wants to look at inner city breakdown head on. We've spent trillions of dollars trying to close the academic skills gap, trying to close the criminal offending gap. It hasn't worked. And people are just scared of that thing, and so they would rather invoke phantom white supremacy than say there's a need for a massive culture change in the inner city. I don't think many people think through it. I think the public is basically completely clueless mm-hmm. about how wide these crime gaps are. And I remember when I first started writing about the police and crime in New York City to vindicate the New York Police Department, which had done something that nobody had predicted, which is to bring crime down ultimately 80% due to proactive policing. When I first started writing about this, I would be taken to police precincts in Brooklyn, in Flatbush, in the South Bronx, and the police officers would show me the wanted lists on the wall, and the people wanted for robbery, again, on the basis of the victims, on the basis of bodega owners saying, this is who came in and stuck a gun in my face and took my earnings that night, they were all black. It's true for the people committing drive-by shootings in New York City. About 100% of all drive-by shootings are committed by blacks and Hispanics. That's the reality. Again, this is what we know from the minority victims. I didn't know that when I started writing it out. Mm-hmm. And the press does everything it can to keep people ignorant of this. You know, I remember in the 90s, you probably do too, when the press stopped giving the race of criminal suspects, something that is completely anti-public interest. If somebody's still out on the street who's committed a robbery of an elderly victim or has committed a drive-by shooting and has hit a child in his completely reckless, insane indifference to human life, and that person is still at large, you want the public to have every possible piece of information about him.
Yeah.
But media outlets, newspapers, television stations stopped saying that the suspect was black because so many suspects were black. Yep. And they would rather keep the public in ignorance so that they couldn't help solve crime than keep the public informed about what the crime situation is in our country.
Well said. I know I got your book, When Race Trumps Merit, on Amazon. Is that the best place for our listeners to go if they want to get your latest, Heather?
Sure. Wherever they like to buy books, you can order it at a bookstore as well, but it's certainly available on Amazon.
Heather McDonald, fellow at the Manhattan Institute. And if you want to catch her latest op-ed, California's Looming Crime Catastrophe, just go to city-journal.org. Heather, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. 901-260-5926. You're listening to The Todd Starnes Show. We'll be right back. Graceland and the foreclosure sale drama is officially over, according to the Missouri-based LLC. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. Ben Dieter filling in for Todd. By the way, I'm going to give you details in a couple minutes. Dylan, hold up a sheet. I'm going to remind our listeners, specifically in North Carolina, where they can catch up with Todd and get your book signed. I know he's going to be doing a show live, so you can go there, live audience. It's a ton of fun. He just did one down in Georgia, WDUN. So Neat the Todd's on the book tour with his latest, Twilight's Last, Gleaming Can America Be Saved, getting to meet all of the fantastic fans in the Todd Starnes Nation. So Nasani Investments, this was the company trying to take the Presleys to the bank and dropping in the newspaper in town that they are going to auction off Elvis's mansion. They just released this jaw-dropping explanation. No harm meant, they said, and therefore we are dropping their effort. Someone claiming to represent the company, they said in an email. Okay, so this is interesting. Here is their statement that they've sent to the media at large. Due to the deed of trust not being recorded and the loan being obtained in different state, legal action would have been filed in multiple states, the Nasani Investments and Private Lending will not proceed. Now, Nasani, as I said, is the company that allege that Lisa Marie Presley did not put up the nearly $4 million loan that she had, and therefore Graceland was going to be sent over to this company. They finished in their statement, which was sent over to the newspaper in town. Quote, this that comes from consultation of the lawyers for the company. There was no harm meant on Miss Neo for her mother's LMP mishabits and mismanaging of money. Oh, they're throwing Lisa Marie Presley under the bus and not even using her whole name. They just dropped the initials. The company will be withdrawing all claims with prejudice. So case closed. That's good. Or is it? Darn it. I wanted to buy Graceland. Still waiting for that pay raise. All right. I wanted to recap real quick as we head into the top of the next hour. So there is always hope for even places like Oakland, California. And places like Oregon. In Portland, for example, they just sent their Soros-funded DA home. So he was elected 4 years ago. He was the incumbent. His name was DA Attorney Mike Schmidt. Voters in that county fired him by voting for his opponent. The race called early after the opponent, which was a young prosecutor, his name is Nathan, led in the polls 58% to 42% in a nonpartisan primary. According to their county's election, if a candidate garners over 50% of the vote, they are declared the winner of the election, but don't take office until next year. So what Mr. Nathan, the tough-on-crime prosecutor, focused on was the incumbent Schmidt's soft-on-crime policies that led to the deterioration of downtown Portland, which has become overrun with what you're seeing in a lot of these dark blue cities. And you got the drug people everywhere. You've got, you know, the carjackings, broken glass all over the parking lots of the grocery stores. So I guess it was just terrible. I mean, find a city that has been destroyed by crime and we'll find you the Soros backed and funded district attorney. I mean, we're broadcasting the flagship station comes from Memphis, Tennessee, where we've got our DA here. And I know Todd has detailed our DA at length. But this is the latest George Soros-funded soft-on-crime DA that has been ousted since San Francisco voters ousted their activist-turned-DA, Chesa Boudin. Remember that? That was 2 years ago. That same year, Kim Fox in Chicago chose not to seek re-election because she was such a disaster. So maybe there is a point where even places like California, Chicago, they have had enough. And it looks like in Portland, Oregon, they did. More on the other side. You're listening to The Todd Starn Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
I almost did a Todd impersonation. Oh, I'd get fired. Oh, welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, everyone. Ben Dieter filling in. I'm one of Todd's hires. I do the morning show on the flagship station here in Memphis, Tennessee, KWAM. You'll hear me join Todd from time to time. So where to find Todd? It's like, where's Waldo? Where's Todd? Because Todd is on a book tour, a national book tour. Have they booked him in LA? Yes, he's already been to California, correct? He's been to WDUN. He's Gainesville, Georgia. Now he is headed to the Carolinas. Well, the northern one, anyhow. So tomorrow, Todd will be at WSJS in Winston-Salem, broadcasting the show live, taking the show on the road. Then doing a book signing at Goyen's Christian Supply and Homeschool headquarters. So that is coming up tomorrow for our friends in the Winston-Salem area at 4 to 5:30. Be there, be square. Friday, Todd will be at the WSIC in Statesville. I've call screened a lot for the Todd Starnes Show. And there's something about those Statesville people from WSIC. They're my favorites. They are some of the most outspoken conservatives that have ever called into the Todd Starnes Show. So he's going to be doing the show live there and also signing books before a show from 11 to 2. So for more info and to sign up to go to that event, you can go to WSICnews.com/Todd. Again, that website is WSICnews.com/Todd. And then on Saturday, he'll be signing books at the Thrive Homeschool Conference in Winston-Salem, excuse me, from 11 to 12:30 at the Goyens booth. There again at the Christian Supply and Homeschool headquarters. So the big conference there. They are so desperate to win in November that they are using every tool in the toolbox. The latest is more student debt forgiveness. I have yet, let me just state for the record, met my first peer in my friend group that has had this erased. There's still thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in debt. This just in from the White House press secretary. Take a listen.
Today, we announced that the Biden-Harris administration canceled student debt for an additional 160,000 people, meaning 4.75 million Americans have now benefited from our debt relief actions, receiving, on average, $35,000 in debt relief each.
No, not doing it. I'm not paying. I paid off my student debt. It was the hardest thing I've ever done. And you better believe I am not getting ready to foot the bill for these whiny college kids that racked up a degree in gender studies. Especially for those, A, that paid off their student debt, and B, the listening audience that didn't go to college at all, and maybe working a trade job. I mean, you go to trade schools, which I would argue is probably a better idea anyhow, to then have to foot the bill just so Joe Biden's hemorrhaging numbers with young voters will be stopped. We talked about this in the first hour with Congressman John Rose. He talked about this latest initiative by the Energy Department where they are doing the same thing when it comes to barrels of gasoline. So again, instead of being energy independent like we were under former President Donald Trump, we decided we were going to be dependent on places like Venezuela, countries that hate us. Countries that for the climate call people that love the Green New Deal agenda, they're producing oil in the dirtiest, yuckiest, most destructive, poisonous to the planet way than America had ever done. We did it the clean way. But then we decided instead of drilling domestically, we would go overseas. So the gas prices are through the roof, and everybody knows that. That is why the cost of living is issue number one as we barrel into November. The Biden administration announcing yesterday that it will sell off 1 million barrels of our gasoline held in our rainy day fund, aka their gasoline reserves. The Energy Department secretary said the following, quote, "The Biden-Harris administration is laser focused on lowering prices at the pump for American families, especially as drivers hit the road for summer driving season." What she really meant to say as we go into November. This as Memorial Day is right around the corner. And I saw this story come across the news desk. Groceries for the average cookout this year for Americans is going to cost you 10% more. Memorial Day plans costing Americans more this year. This story by the Daily Wire. Of course, they start with just sharing inflation and how it's been up month over month. Then they did a deep dive into the actual ingredients that you're going to need when you cook out on the back grill, get a fire. And here's what they found. Cookout ingredients that cost $27.39 last year will cost $30.18 this year. Now, I know Dylan Dandridge over there is one of the pickiest people I know, and he said that on this show. That's why I'm throwing him under the bus, because he already said that. He's a very picky, picky person. Your burger is going to cost you like $2 because you literally are a beef and a Maybe a bun.
Well, at this point, I might be eating PB&J for Memorial Day. So,
right?
We'll see.
Yeah, you can forget about the tomatoes, lettuce, condiments, relish, onions, you name it, because yeah. It's through the roof. So
regardless,
maybe
I might have the cheapest Memorial Day lunch ever, though, according to you.
No, according to Biden.
Yeah,
that's not my fault.
Sorry.
All right, thank you. Looking down through, relish was $3.14. This year, it's $4.67. Imagine in the year of our Lord, 2024, that it's going to cost you $5 for a can of sliced up, sloshy, mashed potato-ish pickles. Oh, that's horrible. Horrible. That's a 48% increase. It's just unbelievable. Burgers are a dollar more. $8.07 compared to $7 last year. That's a 14.6% increase. Hamburger buns, and these aren't even the gluten-free ones, jumped 2 cents from $3.06 to $3.09. Another favorite condiment, ketchup, jumped 10 cents. So all of these ingredients are going up, and we're not even talking about the paper plates, cups, plasticware that you might need. Also, if you want a steak, I'm on a carnivore diet. I only eat steak, and I am now having to find alternatives to red meat because it's so expensive. What I would do, we've got great farmers here outside of the Memphis area, and they'll bring down their slabs of bovine. A bovine is a cow, correct? Thank you. And sell it, and it's great. You know, it comes from the farm, and it's not necessarily coming from a Kroger. And no shade to Kroger, but you don't know where you're getting your meat. That's why I'm a big fan of going to a local farmer. But even then, I mean, it is getting almost impossible to get these cuts of meat. So I'm curious from our listeners across the country, are you feeling the pain when it comes to going to the grocery store every day, whether it be filling up your gas tank, even though Biden is going to, again, try to wave a magical wand and go into the oil reserves and our gas reserves to try to bring down the cost at the pump. And then as you go into Memorial Day weekend, maybe you've already bought your firecrackers and your marshmallows. And if so, did the cost of marshmallow graham crackers and Hershey's are through the roof as well because we've got inflation on cocoa. We're not canceling it. We've still got to celebrate because it's, you know, a big deal, especially as we think of our veterans and what they did for our country. But this, again, it all costs. And I try to explain this to some of my friends that love the idea of student debt forgiveness. Inflation is a tax. You may not think that you are getting taxed because when they get on the campaign trails, they say, we're going to tax the upper class, and it is the Trump administration and those MAGA Republicans that are taxing low middle class families. No, inflation is a tax. Okay, when you go to Chipotle and your bowl is now $15 as opposed to $9 4 years ago, that is a tax. You're being taxed, so vote accordingly in November. AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She said the quiet part out loud. And we're talking about what's happening in Manhattan against the former president. Take a listen to this. This was earlier today on the steps of the U.S. Capitol.
And by the way, he's doing it in the South Bronx, not to make a point, but because he's got court. And the man practically has the legal version of an ankle bracelet around him, and he can't leave the five boroughs because he always has to be in court. And so it is truly an embarrassment to him.
So essentially, she's admitting that the Democrats' lawfare against the former president is an electronic ankle monitor. And even though they haven't found him guilty of any crime, because there is none, the only crime committed was by the fixer, Michael Cohen, it limits his ability to campaign. Marjorie Taylor Greene writing this on X. Remember last week when I said AOC is not intelligent? She just proved my point. That's called election interference, baby girl. Oh, no, the feud continues. Don't get those two in a room again. I don't want to see that. And it's exactly right. When you take all of these stories that we discussed together, we started the show with this bombshell report, which you can read on the Todd Starnes website, toddstarnes.com, where the FBI authorized lethal deadly force against their political opponent. Yeah, you better believe this is election interference. Now it's getting deadly and dangerous. But it's all they got. They tried to stop him with the impeachment. Didn't work. They did it once, then twice. They're trying with these four indictments, and they're not going well. Look at the president's polling. 88 criminal charges later, the president is only getting stronger. So my question this hour as we scoot to break, are you still standing with the former president, President Donald Trump? Give us a call, 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. We'll be back in a jiff.
Was the FBI trying to assassinate Trump? Evidence was discovered in a document dump. Use deadly force, that's what the warrant said. If Trump had been there, he'd probably be dead. The proof we got, assassination was their plot. The reason for it now we know. That raid on Mar-a-Lago, they said shoot to kill. Deadly force at Mar-a-Lago.
And welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. Ben Dieter filling in for my boss, Todd, who is on his national book tour. That was Jim Gossett. Dylan, that was wonderful. I mean, it was really dark. Singing about the assassination of a president, which again, it's dark what the DOJ, Merrick Garland, is doing. But he sang it so beautifully. It was like Pollyanna, but we're talking about assassinating a president.
Yeah, it was a wonderful voice there. And sometimes you just got to laugh about this stuff because it's so insane.
Well done, Jim. Jim Gossett. Does he do these frequently? I mean, yeah. I listen to the Todd Starnes Show frequently, but.
He's our exclusive songwriter in the green room.
So
Todd Starnes' green room.
Can I get one of those on the morning show?
I bet you can.
We are in one of the most musical cities in all of America, Memphis, Tennessee. We should have someone. Can we talk about this woman that was flying Frontier? Now, that's not the crime, flying Frontier. I still fly economy. I don't do the whole Delta Sky Lounge where I snub my nose, and I'm not talking about anybody. I will get on a Spirit Airlines, and those planes fly the same. Actually, they don't if they're American. American scares the crap out of me. They've had too many panels fly off the side of the tin can. So this was on a Frontier Airlines flight out of North Carolina's Charlotte Douglas International Airport. So what you're going to hear in this situation that escalated very quickly. You guys know, when you sit down and you're in the emergency exit lane, you have to have a Q&A. Basically, it's an interview if you can sit there. The flight attendant walks back. Do you verbally consent to sitting in this seat and helping everybody deplane in the case that something horrible would happen? And you have to look at them because I've gotten caught. I just sit on the airplane as soon as I walk to my seat. And I fall asleep, or I put in my ear pods and I'm listening to the Todd Starnes Show. Plug, plug, plug. And so they'll be like, take out your ear pods, young man. You have to consent to this. So the woman, this chick, consents. And then she takes back her consent. Can you do that? And it was all over the fact that she was sitting in the emergency lane. So take a listen to this. So this woman allegedly refused to help save anyone. in the case of an emergency before yelling at the flight staff. Take a listen. So she pulled the grandson card, and everybody has a family member, and for some reason that was her, like, mea culpa. But they weren't having it. She was causing a disturbance on the plane, so they kick her off. Then in another video, another clip showed on TikTok, one of the pilots confront the passenger, the chick, and encourage her to get off the plane. She looked at the pilot and said, "Are you arresting me?" He said, "I'm not, but they are." And the police came and took her. The woman was spotted from the window being let off the plane down the flight of stairs in handcuffs to the tarmac and into the back of a police car. You know, so the funny thing about this is she refused to help people on the plane after consenting to do so. Secondly, she is on a Frontier plane. And again, I'm not throwing any shade, but maybe that's the biggest issue, is she was on a Frontier plane. All right, we're going to circle back with our good friend, Mary Walter. Of course, she's a good friend of the Todd Starn Show. That conversation right around the corner. Don't go away.
Revelation that Michael Cohen stole money from the Trump organization. That was just kind of stunning.
This has given such ammunition as to possibly fatally undermine the prosecution's case.
There's an argument to be made that actually you're just an opportunistic thief. I think has moved Michael Cohen from this figure where he's part Tom Hagen from The Godfather, but really more like Fredo Corleone, to now this guy who's just a thief.
Stealing $60,000 through fraud, which would be larceny in New York State, is more serious of a crime than falsifying business.
Oh, so who's the criminal? Welcome back to the Todd Starn Show. Ben Dieter filling in for the boss. Want to go over, we're speaking with our good friend of the Todd Starn Show, a good friend of mine, Mary Walter, host of Mary Walter Radio and the podcast. Mary, welcome to the Todd Starn Show.
Well, welcome. Do they just keep you in a closet and wheel you out every couple of hours? Like they just let you like get a quick nap and throw some coffee in you and then, you know, you go on the air and then they send you back again?
I'm the fire extinguisher. You know?
Well, you know, we've all got a job.
You crack it. You also are always on air. I mean, you guys can follow Mary on X. It's at Mary Walter Radio. And I check your schedule. You too. Were you on air this morning?
I was last, yeah, and
and last night, because you were doing...
I did two shows and a podcast, and then, you know, it's, yeah. But you know, the bills don't pay themselves, and I don't know if you know this, but stuff's expensive now.
Yeah, that's true. We were talking about Memorial Day weekend and the cookout costs, and even the inflation is affecting and the hamburgers, the hot dogs, the marshmallows. It's impossible. But I did want to ask, because the jury has been adjourned until next Tuesday when closing arguments are expected. You heard that montage of the media basically saying Michael Cohen is the actual criminal. And what is former President Trump doing and what has he done? But I guess that would maybe go into the jury instructions. What do you make of it if you're a predicting person, Mary?
Well, first of all, hilarious that they're just figuring this out. They're just figuring out that Michael Cohen may be a thief. Like, wasn't he the darling of the left? He and Michael Avenatti, they were everywhere, remember?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they loved him because they were telling them what they wanted to hear. about Donald Trump. Just goes to show that you would think they might have a come to Jesus moment now that they've been humiliated, but yet it never seems to happen. It never seems to get through because they feel that Donald Trump is so terrible and awful that he must be. As far as the jury, so the jury is going to go home and they're going to be told, you know, for the long weekend, for the long Labor Day holiday weekend, mm-hmm. and they're going to be told, well, you shouldn't talk to anybody about this, and you can't watch the news, and you shouldn't be on your phones, and that's just not how people live. So I'm 100% sure that's not how this is going to play out.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes sense that it wouldn't play out that way because they're going to be in the house with their spouses, know that they're on the jury. Their friends probably know, as do their coworkers, because they happen to only be available on Wednesdays.
That's right. Yeah. Right?
So we all know. So it's a big joke.
Do you think that if they find the former president guilty, with a verdict that is guilty, and of course he's pled not guilty, do you think it actually will have a sway on some of those independents?
I think there are some people for whom it will have an effect on them. But I also happen to think that they're probably leaning not voting for Trump anyway. Like, they don't like Biden,
yeah.
but they really don't like Trump. And what they don't like about Trump is personal. What they don't like about Biden is policy. So whether they're smart enough to just say, okay, I have to suck this up and just vote for Donald Trump, even though he's a convicted felon, that, you know, maybe... I don't know. I truly don't know the answer to that question. I think it's such an individual thing for so many people.
You know, it's interesting because they really didn't put many witnesses on the stand as far as the defense. And one person they wanted to get on the stand, but the judge was terrible and completely biased, was Brad Smith, the expert who has served on the Federal Election Commission as a commissioner, a vice chairman, and the chairman from 2000 and onward. So he's an expert. And he went to X, and I pulled his tweet, because this guy's an this guy's an apolitical guy. And what he said is the following, and I'll get through it quickly. Judge Mershon has so restricted my testimony that the defense has decided not to call on me. Now it's elementary that a judge instructs the jury on the law, so I understand his reluctance. But the Federal Election Campaign Act is very complex. Even Antonin Scalia, a pretty smart guy, even if you hate him, once said, the campaign finance law is so intricate that I can't even figure it out. So he was going to be the expert, Mary, but the judge said, no, 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 you can't actually be on the stand. He finishes with this, quote, why do pluralities of Americans see Biden as a greater threat to democracy than President Trump? It's in part because of farces like this trial.
Yes. Yes. And you had Zarif Fakharia on CNN saying in his monologue that we would not be having this trial if the defendant had a different name than Trump, if the defendant's last name was something other than Trump. So people who listen to consume CNN are even getting the truth. If you consume MSNBC, you still are living in La La Land. So you have no clue. And that's part of this problem is these people who are on the left who hate Donald Trump have been consuming media that has been lying to them for years now, right? Since 2015, have been lying to them about what a existential threat Donald Trump is to democracy. And the idea that, you know, like we're finding out off the subject, but just as an example, like the whole 6 foot thing, you know, stay 6 feet apart, mm-hmm. was totally made up. We're finding that out now. That was just totally made up. But there were people yelling at me in a grocery store because I was too close to them. I'm like, you don't get COVID through the back of your head. Calm down. Right. But that, I don't know if when they hear that, if it even factors in, or they just go, well, I don't believe it. I don't know, because they're so emotion based. This is that, I think that is the wild card in this entire discussion when it comes to Donald Trump, is the emotion aspect of it.
Mm-hmm. All right. I want to switch to a different trial. This is of Hunter Biden. So I shared this with the listeners. This was the New York Post headline. Hunter Biden's ex-wife, sister-in-law turned lover, and then another hooker to take a witness stand in his gun trial. Maybe that's why the president said, if you are getting married, make sure you marry a chick that has like 5 sisters. So one of them will love you. Because that's exactly what the son did. So I went through for the listeners. You had witness one. That was his wife, his old wife. Then you had witness two. Her handle is weed. And I can't say the other word, 420, because Todd will kick me off the show. And then witness three is the sister-in-law that he cheated with on his first wife. And I was reading down through this piece. So this is over the gun charges, and he was on crack and cocaine. And he admitted this, unfortunately, in his own book memoir, Beautiful Things. And in an interview with the Daily Beast, Hunter took an issue with some of the photos that the right-wing media have been running with, saying that the photos on the laptop were misleading, and here's why. The notorious photos showed the president's son fast asleep with what appears to be a crack pipe in his mouth.
Yes.
But in fact, it's not. He told the outlet, he told them that it's actually a meth pipe. He's like, this is wrong of you to be running with this fake news. It wasn't a crack pipe at all, but a meth pipe. So,
well, it does explain the meth mouth in that one picture, you know, in the dental chair, remember? Right. He's got the picture where, like, he's got, like, no teeth because of, you know, meth. So that makes sense. So I was talking about this today because it befuddles me. And I'm quite curious as to why the special counsel, David Weiss, is going after him for these three charges when, and Hunter Biden's been very quiet. This entire thing's been super quiet. It starts June 3rd. The trial starts, right? Nothing about this. Super quiet. Why would he prosecute him on this? He let him go. He let the statute of limitations expire on the really egregious tax charges, the tax crimes. He didn't charge him with not registering for a foreign agent, for which Paul Manafort is sitting in jail right now. Mm-hmm. He let that go. So all of a sudden, he comes out and he's going to charge Hunter with this allegedly lying on the federal gun form in order to obtain a weapon. So I was talking about it today, and a listener said this. He goes, "You're missing it." Which I always try to find out what's the ulterior motive, because you know there's an ulterior motive. There's another game being played that we don't know about until it's too late. The other game being played is the left is going to use this as an example of how easy it is to get a firearm in this country, and they're going to use it as a cudgel to take the rest of our firearms away, or at least make it more difficult for us to get a firearm. And I was like, oh,
what a compelling listener.
Right? Like, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, yeah. They don't stop with the whole taking away the Second Amendment thing. We're joining me in this last hour, Mary Walter, host of the Mary Walter Radio Podcast. Now, you are a woman, and I try not to pander
when
you're on.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I just want to state that for the record. I try not to pander when you're on the show, but the guys on my cut list have this audio, and it says, "Women spend $4,000 to bash sticks on the ground and scream at a rage ritual retreat." Uh-huh. So without further ado, cut eight, everyone.
How long does this go for?
I can't do it much longer. Turn it down.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So here's, I'm going to go out on a limb here, no pun intended. and I'm going to say that they're all single.
Oh, yeah.
And what do you think?
They're
right?
Wealthy single people, because you can't pay. I mean, it's $4,000 for the rage ritual.
Yeah, I don't know if they're necessarily wealthy because, you know, why repay my student loan when I can do this and, you know, instead of paying for therapy. So, but I know not necessarily this bad, but I have been saying for a while now that we need to find a way to prevent white liberal women from voting, like not forever, but just until they calm the hell down. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because they are the reason why this country is going down the tubes. And I have a friend who's super liberal. He's borderline communist and he doesn't care and he just wears it proudly. But even he is complaining about
white
liberal
women. Okay, so you're right. I am going to declare that these are white women and they are liberal white women. Excuse me. So
wait, was there a question about that? That they were white liberal women? Of course they are.
I didn't know. I didn't want to stereotype.
Seriously?
Mary. I'm not a woman. I'm told I can't have opinions on these things. So the participants, get this, they were told that the reason you do this is, one, they described how moving it was to see other women embody their anger. An emotion expert say society often discourages women from expressing. Really? And then the other one is, they said in the process of this, while you beat sticks together, you quote, every person who's ever crossed you, who's ever hurt you, who's ever ignored your boundaries or taken advantage of you or abused you in any way. This is crazy. These people don't need therapy. They need God. Seek God, women. with that.
No, they need, I'm sorry, but they need to be locked away. And not forever. I'm not talking like re-education camp. Well, maybe a little bit of a re-education type thing. They need to grow out of it. These women, I feel badly for them in a way because they're young. And I think they've been indoctrinated to believe that, you know, you can have anything you want, you know, and their parents gave them everything. This is generation anxiety. Everybody's got anxiety. And so their parents don't make them go to class because they've got anxiety. And they've been catered to their entire lives. Now they get out there and they find out that men, shockingly, don't find a whiny woman attractive. Who knew?
Yeah. And they're single and they continue to be single. And that's why they get jealous of other people like, you know, Harrison Butker's wife, you know, with the Kansas City Chiefs. They hated her.
All right, guys. That's a great point.
I want you to all go follow Mary on X at Mary Walper Radio. You can also find links from there. She's got her podcast on YouTube, etc. So, Mary, without further ado, thank you for joining us and have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend.
Well, thank you. You too. I appreciate it and don't eat too much junk food.
All right. I'll try my best. All right. With that, we'll have more on the other side. You're listening to The Todd Starn Show.
After I signed the PAC Act into law, I handed the pen that I signed it with the addition of the most person most responsible.
What'd he say? PAC Anderl and ACPAC Alactac. That's coming from the commander in chief, the leader of the free world. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Todd Starn Show. As we wrap up, Ben Dieter joining you. It's been a ton of fun and always fun to sit in the big chair with the big microphone. And I'm going to share in 1 second how you can catch Todd this week as he is on his book tour. So, yeah, I think what the president was talking about, it is an act. It's just not the PAC-ALAC Act. It did become a law, which is a good thing because it is called the PACT Act. Okay? It's not that difficult. And it would basically help combat veterans. And a game changer when it comes to getting them medical services over toxic exposures. So it's a good thing. He just butchered the name of the act. All right. I've got a couple headlines for you as we wrap up the rest of the show. So Target is going to war against Walmart. Who's your money on? Walmart has historically been known for lower prices. But in Biden's economy, with inflation where it's at, Target will be lowering prices on at least 5,000 frequently bought products, ranging from milk to diapers, to win customers away from Walmart. Unless you're already boycotting Walmart. I mean, boycotting Target. Is there still a boycott on Target?
I think so.
Whoops. I still go to Target.
You see less people in pajamas at Target, though.
I know.
That's a plus.
But it's not as fun to go. Do you remember growing up, Peoples of Walmart? That website?
No, I never did that.
Don't look it up. It's not appropriate. And it's not because it's like some naughty website. It's just what people wear to Walmart across the country. And people would take photos of them and post it on this website. And it's pretty naughty.
The funniest thing was when the pandemic was happening, you saw the makeshift masks that people were wearing to Walmart. Mm-hmm. That just upgraded it, plus their pajamas. You can't really beat what they were wearing there.
I miss masks. And here's why. Controversial take. Uh-huh. It made people objectively hotter because you couldn't see their face.
Unless they had bad eyes.
So I, like you, worked in the service industry during the pandemic, mm-hmm. during college.
Worst time ever.
I went in there with a mask because they forced me, if I wanted to work during the pandemic, to wear a mask. And so I got to know all of my coworkers turned friend from only their eyes. So imagine my shock when it was the first weekend and we decided to hang out. And it was the first time I ever saw their full faces. They're still in mask, or at least they should be, is all I'm going to say.
Boy.
You know,
you had to get to know someone all over again.
Eyes exclusively can be deceiving.
They really can.
You know?
Dating
I'm
during COVID
in trouble
had to
for
be
that.
Awful.
I know, I know. I and again, so I don't get canceled, I don't miss masks, But that was maybe the only silver lining, is there would be some people that on a good day are a 2, and with a mask, they're at 12.
Agreed.
All right, we need to wrap this show. I'm running out of time. Let's talk about where Todd is going to be this weekend. So Todd, as I said, is going to be in North Carolina for the rest of the week, starting tomorrow, taking the Todd Starn Show live on the road. It's super fun. I've done live shows. It's neat to get out there and meet the listeners of the Todd Starnes program. That is going to be at WSJS in Winston-Salem. And then he'll be doing some book signing before and after there at the Golians Christian Supply and Homeschool headquarters. Then on Friday, Todd will be at WSIC in Statesville. You can find more information there at WSICnews.com/Todd. Todd will be joining you guys tomorrow. In the meantime, take care and enjoy your Wednesday.